1, verse 16. I appreciate what Brother David Trawick said tonight, and I hope and pray that we will be sensitive and be soul winners and let the Lord touch us in a special way to win the lost. Now, I'm not going to say I've got that dynamic of a message here tonight, but I'm not warning you to try to get you to tune me out either. I'm just saying I'd like for you to listen to me about a few things. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 is where I'm taking my text. It says, in verse 15 really is where I want to start. It says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." I want to preach on holiness begins with God. All right? Holiness begins with God. Now, some people today almost make it as if that the God of the Old Testament got saved in the New Testament, and he's not the same as he used to be. Let me tell you something. God didn't need to be saved. God didn't need to change. God's the same God in the New Testament as he was in the Old Testament. In verse 16 where it says, "Because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy." That is from the book of Leviticus. And you know the book of Leviticus, I know sometimes that may not necessarily be the most exciting book to read because it has all of those different laws and regulations about the priests and the offerings and so on. But the main one, two of the main themes about Leviticus is holiness and worship. Really is. You take a look at it. Now, the reason was that Leviticus was so concerned with holiness was because the priesthood, you know where they was going? They was going into the house of God. That's where they's going. And because God was such a holy God, they had to be holy people. Now, us New Testament priesthood, I realize the Lord has done things and fulfilled certain things about the law that we don't necessarily have to do anymore, but it's not because they're not in effect. I want to ask you something. Didn't the Old Testament need a sacrifice? All right. Now, in the New Testament, we don't need a sacrifice now, do we? Now, wait a second. We do need a sacrifice. We still need a sacrifice. We just got the perfect sacrifice. Amen. I'm sorry I got you on some of you. Amen. But I'm trying to make a point. The truth is Jesus fulfilled that law. And there's a difference. There's some people nowadays talking about how Jesus destroyed the law. Jesus said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." The reason that we don't sacrifice lambs anymore is because we have the fulfillment of that. Jesus, we still need a sacrifice, don't we? But Jesus is the sacrifice. Amen. Now, why do we need a sacrifice? Why did we need a sacrifice in the Old Testament? You know why? Because God is holy. And man is sinful. And you know what? That hadn't changed. We still need a sacrifice because God is holy and man is sinful. The fact is, no one will ever see the necessity of holiness until they get a vision of God's holiness. You know why? Because everybody becomes like what they worship. Whatever you worship, that's what you become like. So, in olden days, they had violent people worshiping gods of war. They had immoral people worshiping the lustful goddesses and gods that promoted perversion and great wickedness. They had people that wanted greed and money, and they worshiped gods that promised certain types of advancement in their finances. There's all kinds of different gods they had, but if you'll check it out, whatever that person was like, that's the type of God they worshiped. Amen. In some instances, they made a god in their own image. What they wanted, they invented a god that would condone their sin, that would condone their wickedness. And I fear that many in Christianity have done the same. They've taken the God of the Bible and made him into a God that would condone their lifestyle. But I'm going to tell you, God is holy. The God of the Bible is a holy God. And I realize that there's a lot of folks that don't see any need in living holy. And I'll tell you why. They've never really seen God. That's it. You see, if God is holy, that means it demands something of me. If I'm going to serve him, if I'm going to worship him, if I'm going to live for him, and if I'm going to be judged by a holy God. Now, if he's not holy and he don't really care, you know, I can do anything and stand before him, right? But it all starts with your concept and my concept of God. Let's read it again here. What did he say? It says, as he which hath called you is holy. That was Peter's point of reference. He said, you know why I'm going to demand that you're holy? He said, because he that called you is holy. The one that saved you is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, everything of your life. Said, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now let's just take a look at the coming of the Lord. All right? If you really don't think Jesus is really that big a deal to stand before, if he's really, you know, just so lovey-dovey, ooey-gooey, greasy grace, sloppy agape, where that any old thing will do. You know what? The trumpet can sound, and you can go from a bar stool to heaven. Yeah. But you know what? That neglects one thing. God is holy. Jesus is holy. Now you may say, boy, that's crazy. It is crazy. But when you get this one doctrine wrong, everything else falls apart. In fact, you don't need a sacrifice if God's not holy. Jesus didn't need to die if God's not holy. You don't need the blood if God's not holy. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is holy. And a holy man of God named John the beloved disciple, who was so close to Jesus, he laid his head on Jesus' chest. He heard the heartbeat of Jesus. He knew what Jesus was like in a very close, intimate way. Jesus, when he looked down from the cross, gave John the charge of his beloved mother. Not James that was about to get saved. No, he wanted John to take Mary to be his mother. Oh, he loved John, didn't he? You know, when Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, even though John was in the Spirit, he fell at his feet as a dead man. You know why? Because Jesus is not that Jesus that you can beat and whip and spit on and treat any old way now. He's glorified with the glory that he had before the worlds were. And there ain't nobody going to be able to stand in his glorious presence. And so if Jesus is coming, it depends on which Jesus you're talking about. If it's the Jesus that don't care what sin you done. Now, I'm not talking about forgiveness and stuff. He'll forgive you of whatever sin you've done, but you have to repent of that sin. But if Jesus is all holy, and he is, isn't he, church? He's all holy. He's completely, gloriously holy. If the trumpet sounds, only holy people are going to go. And so the truth of the matter is, If God is holy and you could stand before him any minute, whether it be by death or Jesus coming, or you could be left behind if only holy people are going, shouldn't that change your life? Yeah. Now, if you lose the concept that God is holy, you can do anything. But, you know, I feel for people that have had the addiction to tobacco, but I've never had it. I feel for you, I really do, if you're here tonight, that you know, if God is holy and if Jesus is coming, even if your body's screaming for that, I tell you, the idea that you could stand before the presence of an all-holy God can stop you right there if you really see God the way that he is, to where you won't do it. I know it's a lot slower than the way the church service was going, but I just feel like saying this. I felt the Holy Ghost earlier, and I'm grateful, and Brother Trawick was great, but you know, God's got all kinds of things. He's got a buffet here tonight. For some of y'all like real slow preaching, here it is. Amen. But I want to ask you something. If that girl at work's flirting with you a little too much, do you want the trumpet to sound? Do you want to stand before God in the middle of a little flirtatious sentence? Do you? When you're on your internet and just a click away, what's your decision right there? Well, if you lose your concept of a holy God, there could be a lot of things happen right there. But if your God is holy and you're going to stand before him one day, I tell you what, that can hold the click back from where it needs to be. Amen. Back to where it needs to be. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing to live without this one basic principle. God is holy. Everything else you know about God falls apart when you don't realize God is holy. Amen. You know, we need to be careful about what we say, the jokes we tell, the things we criticize. You know, sometimes in all reality, God can be more grieved by the way we talk about things than even the subjects we're talking about. Amen. We got to be very careful. Y'all want to have revival? I mean, more than anything? Amen. Let's don't let this tongue become the source of bitter things. Amen. I want Holy Ghost fire, not hellfire, coming out of my mouth. Do y'all? Is that all right? Amen. I believe that we need to be careful about what we say. Because in all reality, even if Jesus don't come, do you realize the Holy Ghost is holy? And we can grieve the Spirit of God? So we want to have we want to have miracles, don't we? We want to have healings. Hey, even if the trumpet don't sound, and even if we don't stand before God because of a heart attack, do you realize there's some important things that need to happen in our lives? There's some prayers that need to be answered. There's some services we need to have. There's some souls that need to be saved. And we need to be very, very careful not to grieve the Spirit of God. Amen. The Bible says some in the multitude of words there. Let's see, how does it say? There wanteth not sin. Now listen, there's been times in my past I even got to just joking around saying stuff that was funny and got in a hilarious mood and stepped across the line before. I'm sorry to admit that to you. I've done that before. And it hadn't been recently or nothing, but at the same time, I've done it. I've seen it happen. It's just a multitude of joking. Hey, Brother Lord, you preaching against joking? No, I'm not. I'm not. But I am telling you, we have a holy God. We have the Holy Ghost. There's a holy Jesus. And if our concept of him is holy, it ought to control everything about us. Amen. Let's just be very careful, if I could say it that way. We are having a move of God right now. Y'all believe that? I mean, listen, it could have broke out anywhere. I mean, I felt the Holy Ghost praying for Brother Randy, and I don't know why I felt so strong going over there and doing like I did three times. I felt it to go three times. And I just, you know, praise God. I felt good about doing it. And I'm telling you, God could have just broke out in such a way that y'all wouldn't have had to listen to me here tonight. But I've learned this, that sometimes people need little things like I'm saying. And so I want to ask you, what is your concept of God? How do you see him? How do you look at him? Amen. Is he the all-controlling force of your life? Is really the presence of God what you see about your heart and life? Because listen, if you can't go to a certain amusement and say, oh Lord, even so, come right now, Lord. Can you say, even so, come while I'm listening to this country music song? Even so, Lord Jesus, come while I'm watching this movie. Lord, come while I'm watching this television show. Lord, come. Do you really want to do that? There's a lot of other stuff. I just mentioned a few things. I think that's a principle. But before that, before all that, listen, if you don't think Jesus is holy, you know the trumpet sound just going to get you out of debt. I mean, there's a bunch of people that don't look at Jesus as a holy God, and they say, praise God, when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to leave all my debts for the Antichrist. You know? Hey, man, that's not the right. I mean, praise God, that would be nice to get out of debt, but if you don't have the concept that Jesus is holy, I'm telling you, it's not going to cause you to want to live right. If you see the things Brother Trawick's already begin to talk about, amen, the Lord is coming again. And I want to try to hurry a little bit here, because I don't want to keep you too late. I know some of y'all got children for school tomorrow and stuff, amen, but we lose that sense of reverential awe about even coming to church. Amen, because this is no longer God's house. This is no longer the place where God meets with us. It's no longer the place where his awesome presence is. Amen, it's the place where that maybe we feel good or we don't feel good. And if we feel good, boy, we had a good service. I want you to know that God is such an awesome, holy God. He's worthy for us to come to church and be in. And I want to say this is a great number for Wednesday night, too, by the way. I appreciate you being here. Amen. But I also want to say we lose a few things. We lose the constant desire for devotion to enter into his presence by prayer and worship and seeking his holy face. Amen. Because the awesomeness of God is missing when that we do not want to worship, when we do not want to pray, when God's word is another book, when the newspaper is more exciting to us and more enlightening to us than the Bible is. I'm telling you, we've lost the concept of the holiness of God and the God that is holy that's speaking to us by his holy book. Right. Amen. Oh, all other doctrines fall apart when God is not holy in our lives. His love becomes a license to sin without holiness. He becomes a God who overlooks sins and never judges. The balance of his nature is never seen. He could be bought off with good works or bribed into doing things that a holy God would never approve of, like helping you to win the lottery. Amen. Or something like that. Amen. Oh God, please help me to win the lottery. Now listen, I realize there may be a new convert that's done something silly like that before, not known. But I'm telling you, when people get a concept of a holy God, they watch what they pray about and they watch what they do. Hey, Lord, The atonement's not needed if God's not holy. Man's sin is not that big if man's not holy. In fact, man can handle his own sin, and man can define what sin is and what sin is not if God is not holy. Amen. Can I tell you, if God's not holy, man can rearrange God's word to fit his own standards. And if God is not holy, then he did not need to send his only son to die for us. Maybe Jesus was not born of a virgin. If God is not holy, it wouldn't have any reason if God was not holy. Maybe he did not live a sinless life and die in our place and raise from the dead. If God is not holy, amen. For if we question God's holiness, there's no need of a sin offering. There's no need of a pure sacrifice. And there's no need of a resurrection. But I'm telling you, God is holy, and we still need a sacrifice. We still need the resurrection, and we still need deliverance. Glory to God. The work of God suffers also when God is not holy. There's never been a revival in history that did not take place without people feeling an awesome sense of God's holiness. Before any work for God, there must always come the vision of God. To behold him, we must be lifted up above our troubled hearts, above our worries and discords, and look at him. Amen. Even Saul of Tarsus's Christianity did not start with, hey, amen, what must I do? Amen. But it said, Lord, who art thou? When he saw the Lord, that's when the start of Christianity in Paul's life was. When he saw the Lord, that was the beginning of the Apostle Paul's work. And I'll tell you, when we see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, amen, and see the gloriousness of his holiness, then we're going to be sent to do a mighty work for the Lord. Amen. The world loses its guilt and conviction when the church does. Listen, if we don't feel the weight and conviction of sin, how can sinners? Amen. And thank God for a church that still has an awesome God. Y'all have an awesome God here. I know, listen, they talk about everything awesome nowadays. But really, if you get to defining the word, there's only one that's awesome, and that is God. And I realize that's thrown around so many times, it may be me saying the awesome presence of God may not fully come upon your own heart. And, oh, I want us as a church to look at him as holy, because if we do, it'll change our lives. It will. That's the way Peter said. He said, the one that called you is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Oh, listen, brothers and sisters. Holiness begins with God. It begins with what you think about God. What do you think about him? Amen. Let's just say he's holy. Amen. Amen. I think we ought to join with those cherubims and seraphims that says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Have you ever got to praying that and said that? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Amen. Has God blessed you when you admired his holiness and lifted up his holiness and looked at his holiness? There is something about the holy presence of God that can change me and sanctify me and make me different. Oh, I want to have a holy church. Could we all stand here tonight? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the holiness that we do have in our church, and I appreciate the work of sanctification that you've done in our lives. And I am asking, Lord, that you would please move upon me as a pastor, move upon everybody here in this church, move upon us all. I'm asking for the Holy Ghost to come down and touch us right now, so that we would not only hear the words that God is holy and realize that that's something that's a part of the Word of God, but that the awesomeness of his presence would come down and fill this place. Dear Lord, I'm helpless without the power of your presence. I have preached your word, and I have felt your glory here tonight. And oh, I want to be changed by your holiness. I want all of us to feel the glory of your awesomeness come down in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I praise you, dear God, for all of your mercy and your forgiveness. And I realize you're a merciful, forgiving God, that I could not depend on your promises unless you were holy. And I thank you for being holy. Amen. That's another thing. Let me just tell you, you couldn't depend on the promises of God unless he was holy. Amen. He might change his mind. But he is faithful and just to forgive. He's the same. He's always the same. And he cannot lie. Aren't you glad for that? I'd like for us to do this. Would you raise your hands? And I want you to just say, holy, holy, holy. Could we say it together? Holy, holy, holy. Amen. Let's say it again. Holy, holy, holy. Do you realize we are joining in with the very throne room of God when we're talking like that? And from your heart, when you recognize his holiness, amen, and the awesomeness of God, it's as if that you're in that throne. Let's say it again together. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. I just seem to feel the presence of a holy God when we praise the beauty of his holiness. Amen. I look over here, Brother Richard. He's praising the holiness of God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. There's something about being in the presence of his holiness that can heal your heart and help you and encourage you. I just appreciate what the Lord's done tonight. I'd like for as many as would that say, Lord, amen, as you come up here, this is your prayer. Lord, I'd like to see your holiness. I'd like to see your glory. I'd like to just be taken up into your awesomeness. Amen. If you want to raise your hands and say, holy, holy, holy. Amen.